Hello and welcome to the Bunnycast. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, just when you thought 2021 couldn't get any better, your favourite podcast is back. Hello, Queeve McDonald here, aka the white-haired Irishman. I hope wherever you are in the world, you are well. I am currently in my office garden. That makes no sense. I am in the office in my garden, somewhere in an undisclosed location in Manchester, on what has to be said is a remarkably warm evening. And just to give affairs a much-needed air of tension, I can inform you there is a dog in the room that at any given moment is going to screw this thing up six ways to Sunday. So he's sitting there now, he's looking like he might have a kip, but he's also looking like he might decide to go absolutely mental for no reason whatsoever, including next door's doorbell going. Anyway, I was just saying, yes, you're all well. And you may be thinking, sitting to yourself going, good God, how did this appear in my feed? I thought this thing was dead and gone. Nope, it's back. And we've got some big news to share, ladies and gentlemen. Strap in. Big news number one. Brace yourself for this. We are delighted to announce the Dublin Trilogy, aka my books, aka all of that stuff, aka presumably what you're here for, has been optioned for television. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean it's going to be a TV programme. It means some very good people are going to try and make it in to a TV programme. It's a wonderful company called Avalon, who are a very big name in British television, and I've done a lot of stuff around the world, including John Oliver's Last Week Tonight, etc. and that, on the old HBO, as well as numerous things. Taskmaster in the UK, it's very popular around the world. A thing called Breeders. I should mention that particularly as it's a piece of work done by a wonderful man called Chris Addison. Now, you're wondering why we mentioned that in particular when Avalon have done so many programmes? It's because I can also tell you that the wonderful Chris Addison is attached to the project. And I just realised, as I said that, I did the bunny ears with my fingers without any sense of irony, and I have now become all that I despise. Anyway, oop, the dog's on a wander. Oh, he's disgusted. He's always moved from one bed to another. Never give a dog two beds in a room this small. It is unnecessary. Anyway, yes, Chris Addison. How to explain Chris to you? Oh my God, he is a stand-up comedian, actor, director, writer, producer, lover, philanthropist. There's a very good chance he's the next James Bond. You heard it here first. Many things. He was in the thick of it in the UK, which is a huge hit over here. He directed episodes of Veep and many other things. Breeders for Sky One. He has also done that with the wonderful Martin Freeman. And he is attached to the project, which I'm genuinely chuffed about in all sincerity. As a former stand-up comedian myself, Chris, I do not believe, is a former stand-up comedian. He's never retired. Why should he? He's far too good. The world would be losing a great talent if he ever did. But he's mainly focused on the TV and stuff these days. But genuinely, I'm chuffed because I know Chris, well, going over to the years, like, we're close mates, but I do know. More importantly, he's someone I have massive respect for. I've seen his Edinburgh shows, I remember his Radio 4 shows and stuff like that. He's always been a very smart, very funny man. And frankly, having him at the helm of something like this as the person who created the books is thrilling for me because I just know he's going to get it. And he's, you know, as we all know, if you like the Bunny books, the key thing is understanding the humour and where it comes from. And Chris does that. I can tell you that straight away from the first meeting I had with him about it. We'll see what happens. But it's a good day. We're delighted that the news has finally been released to you, the great unwashed. And for the love of God, on a tangent, start washing, will you? I mean, there's a pandemic, people, for Christ's sake. So that's good news number one. Big news number two, in case you weren't aware, I have a new book coming out. Fun fact for you, I had to re-record this entire intro as I got the name of it wrong. And my wife would never forgive me if that went out. It's not called Dead Man's Lies. Why would it be? That's a terrible title. Nobody recorded a podcast intro suggesting that was the title. Let's be clear. What the title is Dead Man's Sins, which definitely is a better title. I was there when we had the meeting and decided that fact. I was the one who came up with the new title. I just managed to forget that when I was recording it. Anyway, Dead Man's Sins. Forget the other one. Just double checking in my own head. Yeah, that's definitely the right one. Dead Man's Sins. What is the book you, I hear you ask? That, I'll be honest, as sales pitches go, I forgot the title of it, is already a pretty impressive start. But let's keep going. Yes, Dead Man's Sins. It is the prequel to Angels in the Moonlight, which those of you who are good at remembering these things will remember is itself a sequel to the Dublin Trilogy. Yes, I've written a sequel to a prequel. I realise that's incredibly awkward. Let's just move on. I am not having this conversation again. Technically, you can call it part of the increasingly badly named Dublin Trilogy. That'll be book 5, depending on where you want to put it in the thing. But look, it's going to have Bunny, it's got Decky, it's got Dublin. He's back there in the year 2000. Because, by the way, in case you're wondering, the next McGarry Stateside book, very definitely on the cards. The reason this kind of got pushed ahead of it was to do it justice, the next McGarry Stateside book. I do want to go to New York and do a bit of research for very specific reasons. I don't know if you've seen the news. It's not been a great year for the old travel, has it? So yeah, that's definitely happening. But more importantly, this is a book I'm genuinely really proud of. I enjoyed writing it an awful lot. So a bit more of that in a moment. I should also, seeing as you're a fan of the Bunny cast, I assume you're a fan of the wonderful Morgan C. Jones, who narrates all the books for us, to give you the audiobook update. Welcome to Nowhere, the Smithy and Diller spin-off. And I've realised I just said the dog's name there and he's perked up. That was a tactical error. Anyway, he's called D-I-L-L-E-R after the character in the book, in case you're wondering. Yes, Welcome to Nowhere. It has been recorded and it is being mixed. So we're expecting that to be available on platforms relatively soon. And then Morgan, he has some filming work because that's now a thing that's happening again, which is, you know, generally good because let's be honest, we've all finished Netflix at this point. And if I have to watch another repeat of something I never didn't like the first time, I'm going to go mental. But luckily, Morgan is back recording, but he's also back filming and stuff because he's a very fine actor. That's the problem with getting talented people, turns out other people have noticed. But he's going to be doing Dead Man's Sins. Got the name right again, twice, good. He will be recording that just as soon as he can, which will be fairly short order. But in the meantime, he is very kindly, being the wonderful man that he is, he's only gone and recorded the first chapter as a little taster. That's right, the first chapter, it's Bunny, it's Decky, it's Dublin, it's all those good things. And you're going to hear that right now. Just now, I should say, by the way, as I record this, it's Wednesday the 9th of June. The book is out on the 15th of June. That's next Tuesday. Or if you're listening to this in the future, that was a Tuesday that happened in the past. Another thing that's going to happen on that Tuesday is, as well as the book coming out, we're going to have the launch event, which is going to be spectacular. I mean, it's, you know, I say it's spectacular. It's going to be a man sitting in his office in the back garden on a quite warm night, probably hoping the dog doesn't ruin that. But it's going to be me. It's going to be hosted by the wonderful Mark Stay, who did the Stranger Times launch. He's going to be asking some questions. We're going to be having some crack. We're going to have the international, I don't say international, the world exclusive live debut of the Bunny McGarry song we have had commissioned. Let's just, ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely true. Wonderful man called Ronan McManus. Again, a brilliant musician and stuff. I hate saying this because it feels slightly reductive with Ronan, but he comes from a very prestigious musical family. Elvis Costello was his brother. Actually, I'll rephrase that. Elvis Costello. My point is, Elvis Costello is his brother. Very fine musician. And he has written a Bunny McGarry song, which is an absolute cracker. We've been saving it up for a special occasion. This is that special occasion. It's going to be live on the Facebook and the YouTube. Just look up the Queen McDonald Facebook page or on the YouTube. Or check out White-Haired Irishman. There should be a link up there, hopefully. That's 8 p.m. Ireland/UK time, Tuesday to June 15th. It'll also be available on the Facebook and YouTube after the fact, as a thing you can watch at your own, you know, pleasure. Or even pain, I don't really care. I mean, a lot of people find my voice annoying. If you want a full hour of it, and me doing my irritating laugh, then you could put that on while you're trying to, whatever, do some self-harm to yourself. Wow, this went dark. Anyway, in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, to whet your appetites for the forthcoming Dead Man's Sins, nailed it again, that's 3 times in a row. It's almost like I should use that as the title of the book. To whet your appetite, here is the brilliant Morgan C. Jones performing the first chapter of it for you. Take it away, Morgan.
Chapter 1. You can't trust writers. Bunny pulled his coat around him tightly and stared down at the water, the resolutely blue water.
How are you, boss?
He didn't turn around. He didn't need to.
Dickie, how would you describe the colour of that water?
The youngster moved to stand beside Bunny and looked down.
Do you mean the sea, boss?
Of course I mean the sea. What other body of water is there knocking about the place?
Decky pointed.
There's a puddle over there.
Bunny sighed. Talking to Decky was never an advisable activity this early in the day. Bunny had woken up hungover at 11 a.m. after a night that was longer than it should have been, and he'd not eaten yet. In order to grapple with the peculiar mind of Decky Fadden, you needed a good meal inside you to achieve the requisite level of inner peace beforehand. If he was like this at 12 years old, heaven knows what he'd grow into. Bunny waved a hand at the expanse of water before them.
Let's assume I mean the majestic Irish Sea, and not that, or any other puddle.
Right,
said Decky.
Well, it's not my area of expertise, but I'd go with Periwinkle Blue.
This earned him a sideways look.
Me granny likes them DIY programmes, and we've only the one TV.
Right, but definitely not snot green.
What? No, course not. What kind of a dipshit would say that?
James Joyce.
We don't know him. Does he go to O'Connell's?
Does he? No, Decky, he's considered one of this country's true literary geniuses. His school days are behind him. As are all of his days, for that matter. I'm currently taking yet another run at reading a book he wrote called Ulysses, in which he describes the sea here at the 40-foot as snot green.
He's clearly full of it, boss. You can't trust writers. They make up nonsense for a living.
That's an interesting take, Decky.
He's not related to Fiona Joyce, is he?
Who's that?
Girl a couple of years above me in school. She used to be able to belch the whole alphabet, but she won't do it anymore. Says it isn't ladylike.
I don't believe so, no.
Decky nodded.
I just thought of it because she's always making stuff up too. Told everyone Darren Simmons shat himself on the waltzers at Wonderland. And he never did.
Bunny looked back down at the resolutely blue water as the low winter sun sparkled off it.
You just can't trust them Joyces.
He glanced over his shoulder at the spot along the pier where a chip van had just pulled up.
Come on, Decky, I'll buy you lunch.
Bunny pursed his lips and studied the burger van's limited menu.
I will have...
The facial expression of the woman serving made it clear that him turning up and trying to buy something was already a massive inconvenience to her, and the very least he could do was be quick about it.
Sausage, chips, and a can of Fanta, please, love.
He looked down at the assistant manager of St. Jude's under-12s hurling team.
Decky?
Skinny decaf latte.
Bunny rolled his eyes.
He'll have the same as me.
Do you want salt and vinegar?
Asked the woman.
Actually,
said Bunny,
any chance of a spot of mayonnaise?
The woman pulled a face more suited to the question of whether or not one's granny is at home to receive gentlemen callers.
Of course. Will Sir be having that with the red currant jew and pomegranate infusion?
The woman followed Bunny's gaze as it fell pointedly on the sign behind her head that read, "The customer is always right." She gave him a smile with no smile in it.
It's covering up a rust spot.
5 minutes. And a monumentally optimistic nod at the tip jar later, Bunny and Decky sat down on a nearby bench to eat their food.
What exactly is the 40-foot?
Asked Decky, around a mouthful of chips.
'Tis a popular swimming spot. People dive in there every Christmas morning."
Decky nearly choked, which necessitated a firm slap on the back from Bunny.
"People jump in there? In, like, just a pair of trunks? What the hell is that? Some kind of mass suicide attempt?"
Bunny shrugged.
"They love it."
"We've not got the weather for that kind of carry-on."
"'Tis Ireland, Decky. If we waited for the weather to be nice before we went to the seaside, we'd have to send someone out every few months to check the sea was still there. If memory serves, we used to get a few nudists out this way as well."
Decky lit up, the way only a boy careering towards puberty can, his face aglow with terrified, horny excitement.
"Cool your jets," said Bunny. "A person going skinny dipping in France is embracing the beauty of nature, or whatever. Doing it in Dublin in winter? 'Tis a mental illness. Trust me. Anyone who wants to show themselves off around here invariably has the kind of body no one wants to see."
Decky tutted.
"Fair enough."
They finished their food in amicable silence. It didn't taste bad, considering. But then, you couldn't really go that far wrong combining batter, grease and a sausage on a cold winter's day.
"So are you no longer a Rosser then, boss?"
"Incorrect," said Bunny. "I am, in fact, still a card-carrying member of the Garda Síochána, Decky. I'm just on sabbatical."
"Oh, right. I didn't even know you were Jewish."
"What are you on about? Sabbatical just means I'm taking a bit of a break."
"Gotcha. Is that because your best mate got shot to death and then your girlfriend did a runner?"
Bunny raised his eyebrows and gave Decky a look.
This is one of those situations we talked about, isn't it? Where I shouldn't say what I'm thinking."
Bunny gave him a slow nod.
"Sorry about that, boss. I'm still working on it."
"Work harder."
"Right. Noted."
Bunny reached across and tossed his styrofoam packaging into the bin.
"So how are things at home?"
"Fine. Granddad gave me a lift out."
Decky jerked his head in the direction of the car park. Bunny had already clocked the Opel Corsa parked up there with Decky's grandfather sat in the front, his heavy overcoat on, a newspaper in his hands.
"School?"
"Same old, same old."
"How come you're not there?"
"Training day. You'd think they'd have already trained the teachers before they let them loose on us, but apparently not."
"Right."
Bunny watched as a couple of mothers with prams power walked by.
"I guess what I'm getting at, Decky, is why exactly did you want to meet somewhere so far away from your typical stomping ground?"
"I don't want to get fitted for no snitch jacket."
"What have I told you about watching those American cop shows?"
"Life on the streets ain't easy, boss. I'm keeping it real."
"If memory serves, you live on a rather nice cul-de-sac."
"That's a type of street."
Bunny's stomach made a noise that was loud enough for both of them to hear.
"While I hate to disrupt your natural oratorical flow, Decky, can we move this along? I'm getting the feeling that sausage is only a short-term rental."
"Who could have guessed sausage meat bought from a dodgy-looking van wouldn't be the highest quality?"
"Decky,"
said Bunny, starting to lose his patience. The boy nodded.
"Do you remember how Larry Dodds broke his arm last year, jumping off that roof?"
"I do. Made us all sign his cast."
"Yeah,"
said Decky with a smile.
There ended up being that many cock and balls on it. He had to put a bag over it before that woman would let him on the bus.
Decky's grin fell away when Bunny's facial expression made it clear that he hadn't known that particular fact and wasn't impressed by it.
Anyway,
Decky continued,
my point is, he was mad proud of it.
I know. They had to force him to get it removed in the end. Bloody thing stank.
Exactly. Lads that age are obsessed with that kind of thing.
Bunny frowned.
You do realise that you are also that age?
Decky entirely ignored the question. He found half a chip sitting in the folds of his anorak and popped it in his mouth.
So what's up with Larry?
Nothing. Larry is grand. It's Alan.
With one or two L's?
One. I still reckon two was a spelling mistake.
For the last time, it's French or Scottish or something. Foreign, anyway. Now, what about Alan?
He's got a bruise on his arm, like a proper belter. Several different colours. The lot.
Okay.
And he doesn't want anyone to see it.
Bunny nodded.
Didn't Alan and his ma recently move in with Gary Kearney?
Yeah, the great white dope of Irish boxing. I lost 20 quid on his last fight.
You shouldn't be gambling.
Not on that waster's matches. You're dead right, boss.
And we think...
Bunny watched Decky, who turned his eyes away and bowed his head, his normal bravado deserting him.
We do.
Have you mentioned this to anyone else?
The youngster looked up at him, incomprehension writ large across his face.
Course not, boss. Who else would I talk to?
Fair enough. Leave it with me.
Will do. So, what's this information worth?
Excuse me?
I'm a busy man.
You are, in fact, neither of those things.
Decky ploughed on.
50 quid?
Absolutely not.
Can I pick the team for the next game?
No.
I'd like a bigger input on tactics.
Definitely not. You shot your bolt with your sharpen the edge of your Hurley speech. I had to check equipment for weeks.
Decky raised his eyes to heaven.
Do you know what your problem is, boss? You've no appreciation for the fundamentals of the game.
I'll take your criticism on board, said Bunny, getting to his feet.
He buttoned up his coat as Decky sat there, his arms folded, scowling.
I'll tell you what. You can pick man of the match in the next game.
But it'll be Paulie. It's always Paulie.
I know, said Bunny. And you get to pick him.
Decky thought about this, then nodded.
All right. Good deal.
He held out his clenched hand for a fist bump. Bunny placed his palm over the top of it.
Paper covers rock. 1-0. Tell your granddad I said hello.
Will do.
Bunny's phone started to ring. He fished it out of his pocket, looked at the screen and groaned.
Who is it?
Asked Decky.
Nobody you know.
Ignore it then. I know everybody important.
Bunny almost put the phone away, but at the last second, his guilt got the better of him. He sighed and answered it.
Hello, Mrs. Spain.
The flurry of panicked words that burst forth from the earpiece almost caused Bunny to yank the phone from his ear.
All right, calm down. I'll be right there.
Bunny hung up.
Do you reckon your granddad will be up for giving me a lift to Clontarf? I'm sure he...
Decky didn't get a chance to finish, as Bunny was already halfway to the car park.
Thanks for listening to the Bunnycast. If you'd like to hear more, then please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts, as that way we know you want them to continue. The audiobooks of all the Dublin Trilogy are available from Audible, iTunes, and anywhere else audiobooks are sold. This podcast is written and presented by me, Queen MacDonald, with the stories being read by Morgan C. Jones. The audiobook production is by Sound Entertaining Limited. Podcast production is by Richard Massera, with the artwork done by Wonderwife. Copyright everything bar the music, McFory Inc. 2018. And speaking of the music, the killer track you're hearing right now is from Honour Among Thieves, a new band that is a merger of the Bible Code Sundays and Brand New Zeros. Do check them out. The world.